Through our Lord Jesus Christ, divine grace is restored to us, and through grace, we can love God more than ourselves. In the state of fallen nature, the human will tends generally, in its concrete acts, to seek in self the end of life, unless it is healed by grace. In practice, then, we have to struggle not to place self on the same level as God or on a higher level. We can win in this struggle by the help of mortification and by subjecting ourselves to the passive purification of the senses and of the spirit. But the process of healing our wounds will never be absolutely complete here below. If, however, we reject our divine Lord, head of his mystical body, the church, and his grace, we put ourselves above God in practice, and then we run the risk of accepting the absurdities of pantheism, even speculatively. The will, attached to evil, prevents the intellect from contemplating the full force of the arguments for the truth. A fortiori, this danger is increased when man enters a naturalistic society, which makes profession of indifference to the order established by our Lord, and the symbol of which is pantheistic. Amidst all the praises of Masonic light, we can, by listening attentively, hear the voice of him who is a liar and father thereof, whispering, "You shall be as gods." The apostasy of modern nations is largely due to the action of pantheistic societies like Masonry, and that very apostasy, with all its attendant evils, helps Masonry in disseminating pantheism. We should weigh well all phrases about the service of humanity and the will of the people. Pope Leo XIII touched upon the effects of the rejection of supernatural life in regard to truth, both speculative and practical, in a well-known passage in his encyclical letter on Freemasonry. Quote, "But the naturalists go much further, for having, in the highest things, entered upon a wholly erroneous course, they are carried along to extremes, either by reason of the weakness of human nature, or because God inflicts upon them the just punishment of their pride. Hence it happens that they no longer consider as certain and permanent those things which are fully understood by the natural light of reason, such as certainly are the existence of God, the immaterial nature of the human soul, and its immortality. The sect of Freemasons, by a similar course of error, is exposed to these same dangers, for although in a general way they may profess the existence of God, they themselves are witness that they do not at all maintain this truth with the full assent of the mind or with firm conviction. Those who obstinately contend that there is no God are as easily initiated as those who contend that God exists, though like the pantheists, they have false notions concerning him. All of which is nothing else than taking away the reality while retaining some absurd expression of the divine nature. When this greatest fundamental truth has been overturned or weakened, it follows that those truths also which are known by the teaching of nature must begin to fall, namely, that all things were made by the free will of God the Creator, that the world is governed by providence, that souls do not die, that to this life of men upon the earth there will succeed another and an everlasting life. When these truths are done away with, which are as the principles of nature and important for knowledge and for practical use, it is easy to see what will become of both public and private morality. Wherever, by removing Christian education, the sect has begun more completely to rule, there goodness and integrity of morals have begun quickly to perish. Monstrous and shameful opinions have grown up, and the audacity of evil deeds has risen to a high degree." End of quote. B. The Syllabus. A collection of the principal errors of our day, which have been condemned in consistorial allocutions, in encyclicals, and other apostolic letters of our most holy Lord, Pope Pius IX. The true doctrine opposed to the errors enumerated in the syllabus is expressed by the contradictory propositions of each of the condemned theses. This contradictory proposition can be obtained by prefixing to each of the banned theses the words, "It is not true that." For example, the true doctrine in regard to the 80th proposition may be enunciated as follows. It is not true that the Roman pontiff can and ought to be reconciled and come to terms with progress, liberalism, and modern civilization. In the case of the 79th proposition, which begins with the words, "It is false," the contradictory is obtained by substituting for these words the phrase, "It is true." We must, of course, be careful always to take the exact contradictory of the proposition condemned in order to have a clear idea of the Catholic teaching to be followed. This syllabus has frequently been misinterpreted owing to the non-observance of this rule of logic. 1. Pantheism, naturalism, and extreme rationalism. 1. There exists no supreme being, perfect in his wisdom and in his providence and distinct from the universe. God is identical with nature and consequently subject to change. God is evolving in man and in the world, and all things are God and have the very substance of God. God is thus one and the same thing as the world, and consequently spirit is identified with matter, necessity with liberty, truth with falsehood, good with evil, and justice with injustice. 2. Any action of the part of God upon men and the world must be denied. 3. Human reason is the exclusive judge of truth and falsehood, good and evil, God being left completely out of account.